World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, things are a little bit discombobulated here this morning. Luckily, I got Spencer working on us to get us straightened out here. Here in this multi-million dollar studio that we've built from scratch, I got. If you were to look at our studio, you'd laugh. It's effective, isn't it? So I got two great big lights here. This screen behind me is a green screen. That thing's fake. And Jared and his crew, Spencer runs all this from down in North Carolina, and I just kind of get in here and talk. But I got a computer here. I got a computer here. I got a computer here. So if you guys see me during the course of the show and I'm not paying attention, something's happening here and something's happening here, and I'm like Dan Rather, I guess, sitting back here with this great big.
Hey, you've come a long way since that first show.
Mike Heath is the one he started me. I don't know how long it was that Mike said, you need to start a podcast. I didn't even know what a podcast was. And we started Coach Dave. It'd be interesting to go back in the archives and see if we could find that original first show. That would be something to see. Hey, let me real quick and just acknowledge my brother Dan, whose birthday is today. And Dan passed away last, God, I don't get this wrong. Help me out, Michelle. Anyway, it all runs together. And so think of Susie, his wife, today, waking up another morning without her husband, praying for you, Sue, and walking through that. You know, I don't know about you guys. I've never, ever been separate ever from my wife, ever. I mean, maybe, yes, you go on a three-day vacation or something like that, but the idea of waking up in the morning and my wife not being there beside me for the rest of forever that'd be a shock, wouldn't it, folks? I mean, that would be a shock. And so all of a sudden, no matter how much, you know, Michelle and I call ourselves kind of yin and yang, you know, we nip at each other. But she's the most precious thing in the world to me. And if she would, golly, I can't imagine. Can't imagine. And so we say, you know, Sue, Dan, well, he died when? Well, that was one a year ago. When was that? And, it, you know, like we're supposed to forget it. Like we're supposed to forget 30, 40 years of our life and the companionship and all that. So I think about others probably here in the queue that are dealing with that very thing, right? Dealing with that very, very thing. Loss of a spouse, loss of a child, and how you move on past all that stuff is it's pretty tough. So I just acknowledge my brother Dan today. And I want to ask for, I want somebody out there, I don't know who it would be. I want to say this in a way that comes out okay. There's some conflict going on in the life of our dear brother, Pastor Tom Gill. And I don't, not a divorce, nothing like that, but just family conflict. We all know what that's like, right? Without us going publicly about that, I just wonder if somebody would just lift up Tom Gill and his family. Hey, nothing, ain't nobody dying, anything like that. But just, man, when you walk through stuff, right? And you just walk through it and you just, God, how does this happen? I'm wondering if anybody out there would just lift up Pastor Tom this morning, lift up his family. Somebody say, yeah, Coach, I'll be glad to do that.
Because
remember this, one of my arguments is men in church don't even know how to pray. We're not taught how to pray. Ask a man to pray publicly, are you kidding me? So Laura Ann, who's not a man, says, I'll be happy to. So go ahead, Laura Ann.
Yeah, I'm definitely not a man. Okay, lock and load. Almighty God, we come before you. You are holy and worthy to be praised. We come to you this morning on behalf of
Pastor Tom Gill.
Pastor Tom Gill.
And his family.
And his family. There's nothing worse than a heartbreak.
Amen.
That when there's division in your family, in a time when you need one another to lean in and on. And the enemy's such a jerk. He causes division so that, and more hurt and more pain. And then the trauma just implodes. And Lord God, he's coming after your voice that's in his lungs. He's a man, Lord God, that represents you. And Lord God, his first responsibility as a pastor is to his family. That is the most important flock that he has to lead. And Lord God, do your thing and protect this family.
Amen.
With a love that surpasses all knowledge and understanding, that will guard their hearts and minds and everything that you are, that you will repair what has been broken. You are the repairer of the breach. Everything's turned around. There's been hurt words and hurt actions. There are things going on, Lord God, that you have seen that break your heart for this man, Lord God, that's supposed to lead a flock. And this flock that's so close to his heart is also close to yours. And Lord God, do what you do best. Heal, draw close, love on them like they've never been loved on before, and pour out your Holy Spirit to bring comfort with truth so that this family can heal. And this testimony, Lord God, of what they're walking in right now in the valley of the shadow of death, Lord God, that your rod and staff will comfort them, that you'll prepare a table for them, a family meal before their enemies, and they will brag on how good you are and how you fix this, whatever's going on that only you should know about. And as a man of your Lord God, who's called a pastor, a shepherd, Lord God, he needs you to shepherd him. He needs you to get, he's leaning in to your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, and your discernment, Lord God, in how and what and how to do. And he needs you to shepherd him. And the weight of being a shepherd is extremely difficult. And Lord God, bring everything that's needed. Bring the shoulders he needs to cry on. Give him, help his wife, Lord God, know how to be his battle buddy. Create a bond between them through this that they will be able to testify in how closer they got, not divided against one another. And Lord God, that their family would be just so blessed by you. Give wisdom to his friends when he seeks counsel. And Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, shut up the enemy so that gossip and slander and backbiting will not get a victory here and no defamation of character will take place. That you will protect him. That you will protect him. That this backbiting defamation spirit, Lord God, is just flat out evil. It destroys lives. And Lord God, it's basically what you kicked Satan out of heaven for. It's all based on lying and causing and saying things about defaming your character. And you said that you hate liars. And gossip is all about lying. So Lord God, raise up the standard against the enemy. Wrap around him men and women, Lord God, around this family, that their shields of faith, which is your faith, will be their protector. You will bring paracletes, Lord God, that the enemy cannot infiltrate his family, that the enemy will not get a victory. The only one who's going to get the victory is the man he calls Jesus Christ, his Savior, his everything, his word that became flesh and blood that dwelt among them, that dwells in him. So that he can reveal the truth and the grace and the glory, not to his flock at home, but the other flock that he leads at. Because how he leads at home is how he leads his flock. Coach him, protect him. Bring his D line and his O line for your glory, that he will testify, that he will testify, and so will his family. And you get the glory, and you get the love, and you get the peace, and you get the hope, and you get the faith, and you get the strength and the courage that comes from you, comes from heaven, to the praise and glory of only your name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Lorianne. Hey, look, that prayer could have been for a lot of us, right? The enemy's after the
family. I received it, Coach.
The enemy's after the family, man. No doubt about it. Enemy's after the family. Thank you, Lorianne. Hey, look, Mike Heath's joining us here this morning. Somebody to say, who's Mike Heath? Well, you guys, you know, I don't do a lot of guests. I'm sure you've picked up on that. Just because, I don't know, I just don't. But I'm kind of where I am. Mike Heath is the one who I met, I don't even know how many years ago. I got invited out to speak to this group called the Christian Civic League of Maine. Didn't even know what it was. And went out there. Mike was brave enough to have me come and speak to the Christian Civic League of Maine and probably undermined everything that he was trying to get done. But Mike's the one who got me doing a podcast. He said, Coach, I'll start a podcast. This is how many shows? 2,516 shows ago. It was Mike's idea to do it. He locked me up with Jared. Jared is Mike's son who runs what we're doing here. And so I was just really struck by something with the death of James Dobson recently. I wanted to let the dust settle a little bit on that before we really began to talk about what the heck. I'm going to start off with this, Mike, if you can. Folks, this was from James Dobson. I didn't number it, Spencer. It says Dobson, we lost 16 years ago. Mike, that might be about when I first got to know you. I don't remember when it was. Folks, this is James Dobson, head of Focus on the Family, who just died. And we honor James Dobson. We honor his life. We honor everything he did. But out of his own mouth, you're going to hear James Dobson say, we lost the cultural war. Go ahead and play. That's 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Listen.
The battles that we fought in the 80s now, we were victorious in many of those conflicts with the culture, trying to defend righteousness, trying to defend the unborn child, trying to preserve the dignity of the family and the definition of marriage. We fought all those battles. And really, it was a holding action. Dr. Moeller mentioned the pornography struggle. We made a lot of progress through the 80s, but then we turned into the 90s, and the internet came along, and a new president came along, and all of that went away. And now we are absolutely awash in evil. And the battle is still to be waged. And we are right now in the most discouraging period of that long conflict. Humanly speaking, we can say that we have lost all those battles. But God is in control, and we are not going to give up now, right?
Okay, you can pull that off. There you heard James Dobson, Focus on the Family. God bless James Dobson. He was ahead of his time for sure. Focus on the Family, in my opinion, has become Focus on the Scamily. They admit we lost, and Mike Heath was right in the middle of all that because Mike was trying to get the Christian Civic League of Maine. By the way, pull that up there, Spencer. I got that down, CCL of Maine. Mike was president, led the Christian Civic League of Maine for 2 decades. I don't know, Mike, you'll be able to talk about all that, right? And this is the website of what has become the Christian Civic League of Maine. And Mike did everything he could to push back against this darkness in Maine of all places. And truth be told, they fired him. They fired Mike Heath. And I'll let Mike talk about why and all that kind of stuff, but man, oh man, oh man, what a mess we have in the pro family organization. Just a second, Mike, before I don't want to forget it. I want to tip my cap to Dave Allison. Dave Allison and Sherry, his wife, they drove all the way to Washington, D.C. for that 800-mile-long communion thing that went on yesterday. And I appreciate them going. And Dave gave me a little bit of update on what he saw, what happened, and we'll get into that later. But I already had Mike scheduled in here. So, Mike, come on in here, man. What's going on, Mike? Look, we're not gonna beat up on a dead man, okay? We're not gonna beat up on James Dobson. That's not what this is all about. But if anybody ever had looked at the underbelly of the pro-family movement, it would be Mike Heath, Christian Civic League of Maine, and standing against the forces of darkness cost him his job. Come on in, Mike.
Hey, Coach. I don't know if people can see. Am I good?
Yeah, we got you. We got you good, man. We got you good.
All right.
So tell what happened, Mike. What's going on? Mike, listen, not just with the Civic League, but the pro-family movement in general. Hey, Mike, we're so freaking weak, aren't we? The church is so weak. And I got up here, we turned to Focus on the Family, American Family Association, Family Research Council, all these big multi-million dollar organizations that are drawing in all kinds of money. We're having no effect in the culture. Come on in, Mike.
That brought back such warm memories hearing Dr. Dobson's voice from way back then. I stopped following him when he was fired by Jim Daly, the guy who basically stole the microphone from the founder of Focus on the Family.
James Dobson founded Focus on the Family and his board fired him. James Daly fired him and took over. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, he settled behind the golden microphone, so to speak, of Focus on the Family. And out of honor and respect for the courage of Dr. James Dobson, I just couldn't continue honoring that organization. So I also didn't want to become, you know, the guy that goes down the street and hangs out a shingle and sets up another operation or something.
Yeah. Yep.
So I just went silent, and I'm almost on the. It's very emotional for me because this goes way back to the late '80s for me, because when I was having my three sons, I got 8 grandkids now, and I spent the weekend with them. You know, you got a chance to talk about your weekend. I'm going to talk briefly about mine. I spent two nights ago, Bar Harbor. Been going there for 43 years because that's where we went for our honeymoon, me and my lovely wife, Polly. And so we went down there and we got a cabin and we slept in there with our 4 grandchildren, and the parents went and got a hotel room. And what a delight. I mean, I have no regrets, Coach. Yeah, I lost my job. I lost my career. No more politics, no more name and lights, right? Living on the front page in the newspaper. And the reason I did that was because I was the leader. I was the spokesman for an institution in Maine called the Christian Civic League of Maine, which was founded in 1897, and it was called the Christian Civic League of Maine. Can you imagine a better name than that?
No. the Christian Civic League of Ohio, that'd be a good one.
For the United States of America, the Christian Civic League. What a great name for a country that is a constitutional republic and that depends upon the steadfast and courageous voice of Christians in order to stay on the straight and narrow. What did Billy Graham say? He said, we're going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if we keep going. And that was like 50 years ago or 6, I don't know. We're going to have to apologize. Now look at us. We are Sodom and Gomorrah.
We are, bro.
And part of the reason we're Sodom and Gomorrah is because the church surrendered. Catholic and Protestant, evangelical, I don't care what you call it, Christianity in America surrendered. At the institutional level, it surrendered. Thank God for guys like you, Coach, and the people who tune in for your huddle, and for the very millions of faithful lay Catholics, and for those within the hierarchy of the Catholic Church that are taking a stand and being defrocked for it.
Yeah.
Within the, you know, for standing against this woke insanity within religion, within Christianity in the West. The battle is everywhere you look. in the West. It's everywhere you turn now. It's inside your family. It's inside your church. I don't care what church you're in. It's there. The battle is there. It's real. And we're going to win. We're going to win because we're going to win because of courageous men like James Dobson. He took it as far as he could take it because he was a psychologist. And he wasn't a spokesman for Christianity in a in an institutional sense. He was he spun up a group called Focus on the Family. The women loved it. The men were dragged in kicking. And now we've got the real men of Christianity, like Coach, calling it Hocus Pocus on the Scamily. And that's because of feminism, the whole feminist thing. But it's it what's it's really because Christianity lost its voice at the institutional level. We still have Christians speaking out and working. And I got this guy in Maine. I got to tell you about this guy, Coach Tim Bodnar. He goes by the Truth Slinger on X. It's at Truth Slinger X is his handle on Twitter, X, if any of you are on there and you want to go check him out. But this guy is setting the world on fire from Maine. And unfortunately, a guy who used to work for me, who's now a communist, he worked for me for 6 years, and now he's a communist. He's trying to destroy Tim and his wife, Jennifer, because they're, like I said, lighting the world on fire from a log cabin in the woods of Maine, powered by a generator, producing a morning show on X, and then showing up at school board meetings and holding the school board members accountable for this ridiculous furry nonsense that's everywhere in Maine now. It's in all of our public schools. But you see how crazy the world has become? My former employee, 6 years, the best guy that ever worked for me, is now openly communist and working to destroy the voice of reason in Maine. Mm. You can't make this stuff up. Mm.
And so Mike, let's back up here a second. Just so people understand, how long did you lead the Christian Civic League of Maine? And Mike, you were friends, whatever that means, with Dobson and Tony Perkins. You talked to those guys and they knew who you were. How long did you do that, Mike?
About 20 years, two decades. And to the Christian Civic League of Maine's credit, as the 80s became the 90s, it was very realistic. It took a look at the politics of Maine, and it looked at the rise of the gay rights movement in Maine, and it said, okay, we fought gambling, okay, we fought alcohol, you know, because it was started as a prohibition group. It's obvious now that we need to weigh in from the biblical side, from the Christian side. We got to weigh in. We got a duty to weigh in with the people of Maine to defend the marriage and family and the ground that the moral ground, the moral law that holds Maine families together. We got to defend it because this gay rights thing is a shot at the heart of what sustains families over multiple generations, which is religion. And in our case in the West, Christianity, tradition, history. That's what they're aiming for, is to destroy that, to erase it, to wipe it out, to replace it with communism or capitalism, which is the other side of communism. And so the Christian Civic League of Maine, to its credit, stepped up and said, we're going to defend this principle regarding sexuality. We're going to fight the idea that sexual orientation should be added to the Maine Human Rights Act. We're going to fight it to the death. And that's what I did the whole time I was there, with the board's support and with the support of the churches statewide at the institutional level. And they couldn't get past us, Coach. The Republicans couldn't. They're the ones that got rid of me. It was the Republican Party. Because, of course, Trump, he loves gays. You know, you can't be in the Republican Party now without loving gays. It's not allowed. One of the most popular activists in the Republican Party, I forget his name, but he's very openly homosexual, and Trump loves on this guy. And Even Charlie Kirk. I stopped paying attention to Charlie Kirk years ago because he was given the opportunity to do the right thing at a Q&A at a college.
He's pro-gay.
And he was pro-homosexual. I stopped paying attention to him. I mean, I'm very obviously, like all of us, extremely sad over what happened and troubled.
But Mike, you were pedaling along pretty good when I first met you, and the Civic League was going good, but you made an open decision to oppose the gay agenda. That was the death knell, wasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. We said, as an institution, we said, do not add these two words, sexual and orientation, to the main human rights act. We kept it very simple. And we decided that we couldn't win in the state house because the state house of Maine, as with all state houses in America, and especially our national capital, that's all controlled and manipulated by big money that's hidden. It's all hidden. And we realized that in the early 90s. And we said, but we may have some hope electorally, politically, if we take our argument to the people. And so we used the referendum in Maine. And they didn't see that coming. They didn't want that. They didn't want a populist fight at that time.
Who's 90s. They, Mike? Who's they?
Well, you want the Jews? The Jews. I'll just come right out and say it. It's Talmudic. It's all tied up with money and a kind of supremacy attitude about how we're going to move forward into the future. This Tikkun Olam idea, which is part of the Jewish teaching.
So they wouldn't support you. The Jewish money wouldn't come in if you were going to fight the gay agenda. Is that it, Mike?
All the Jewish money is on the side of porn. It's on the side of the destruction of the family. It's on the side of abortion. It's on the side of the destruction of the Roman Catholic Church as well as the Protestant Church. It's on the side of the destruction of Christianity in the West. That's where the big money is coming from. This is a religious battle. It's not primarily an economic battle. It's not a political battle. This is a religious war. And to understand it, you have to go all the way back to Christ. Why? 2,000 years ago. Why do we have to go back to there to begin to gain an understanding of this? Because what happened? God sent his son to who? To the Hebrews, to the Jews. And what did they do? They murdered him. They killed him. They killed their own Messiah. And they've been trying to avoid that whole issue ever since then, for 2,000 years. And that's where we are today. The only thing that's going to resolve this in America is if we start talking about this fact. It's a religious fact. And Jews make up less than 10% of America, a very small percentage of the United States. Protestants make up 70%, 60 to 70%, and Catholics are about 20%. So America is a Christian nation. At the point of individual, individuals saying what they are, identifying what they are, but it's not acting like one at all. It's acting now, especially right now, right this moment. It's acting like a Jewish nation. We are Israel first. We're not America first.
Amen.
I mean, our president, the president that I voted for every single time, just yesterday or this weekend, whatever, he was over there and. The political Israel body saying the most crazy things. He's our president. He's not their president. He's America first.
So Mike, ultimately, boy, we could, folks, we'll open it up. You can jump in there. This is really fascinating. Ultimately, Mike, it was the sodomization, if that's the word. It was the gaying, if that's the word. It was the exception of homosexuality that poisoned the Christian Civic League of Maine and the pro-family movement. Would you agree with that, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's this whole vibe, attitude of victimhood, and then injecting sexual orientation into this notion of victimhood. What's the Maine Human Rights Act? It comes up out of the Civil Rights Movement. What is it? Well, it's a legal mechanism that says, if you're one of these categories, if you can list this characteristic as part of your identity, then you have the right to identify as a victim. And the government's going to come in on your side against whoever it is you complain about. That's the whole problem. We got to get rid of that whole way of thinking when it comes to the government and the law. We're not victims. Don't be a victim. We're not victims.
Amen.
And we've got to step up, especially the men, the Christian men. We've got to step up and take responsibility for this, especially us boomer men. I mean, this happened on our watch.
So Mike, when you stood up and drew a line in the sand, the Christian Civic League of Maine, no on homosexuality, no, we're not going to give in to this. That's when you lost your footing. Is that true?
Yeah, I lost everything. They took everything from me as far as my ability to work in Maine, in what I had done for 20 years and on my career path. They took all of that away from me. And
Mike, you were like the top, one of the top 20 pro-family guys in America. Would you agree with that without patting yourself on the back? I mean, you were there, man.
Yeah, we had turned a lot of heads, not just in Maine and the United States, but around the world, because the Christian Civic League of Maine, as an institution, decided to be Christian and civic and courageous all at the same time. And over a long period of time, they dug their heels in and they stood steady on a principle, which I've already articulated. And the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the political establishment, even the religious establishment of the West outside of the Christian Civic League of Maine. You know, part of the reason we lost was because focus on the family softened toward the end. They took up this love won out message. So. Yeah. I was making the argument that you've heard me make here with a lot more depth and a lot more layers to it, that was rooted in law. It was rooted in philosophy. It was rooted in theology. And I was making this argument for years and we were winning. And then focus on the family because it was psychological, right? Which means what? It's emotional. So it comes into Maine and it injects this love one out thing. And it kind of, we ended up being forced to kind of look like victims, you know, and now we're going to have the people who used to be homosexual come and lecture us about how important it is to love on these people who used to be homosexual.
Mm.
I mean, yes, we care about you if you live that sin and then you
now you're
left
trying to
that.
Save the culture, right? You're trying to save the culture.
Right. We're trying to make, hold on to laws that make sense, that laws that comport with the moral law, not
it's
just.
Like, it's like going to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and honoring the ones that are still drinking, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what happened? We lost. So Focus on the Family injected that argument, and of course, everybody who wanted to be emotional was drawn to it. Because here's Dr. Dobson, you know, the guy who's defining the fight, the whole thing just disintegrated.
Okay, so Mike, let me hold you just a second there. We got some guys who want to get in here. Golly, it's been 30 minutes already. Hey, Spencer, I want you to do something here real quickly. I want you to pull up in order the homepage of the Family Research Council. That's the first one. Let's see. Get a feel. Big money, isn't it, Mike? Family Research Council, big money.
Oh, yeah.
Big money. What do you see when you come on their page? Let's see right here. Which one is this? This is Family Research Council, Tony Perkins. Scroll down there. What are they fighting there? New study shows church shifting views on churchgoers, Affordable Care Act. Don't see many cultural things there, Mike. Don't see much. Center for Biblical Worldview. Why? Because James Dobson told us we lost, didn't he? He told us we lost. Okay, let's get off. Who runs the Family Research Council? Tony Perkins. Okay, now let's go to the next one. That would be all the folks on the family. We already did that. What's on their homepage today? What are they fighting today? You can help families thrive. Focus on Jim, how to nourish mental health in your family. They've become a self-help website, folks. Focus on the Scamly is what I call it. I wonder how much money they're bringing in a year. Huh? Bring up the American Family Association, Don Wildman. What are they promoting on their page? Urge your senators to move on President Trump's cabinet nominees. Oh, what else? Scroll down there. Oh boy. Huh? Wow. Don't see much about the gay agenda. Don't see what? Oh my goodness. Selling books, CDs about the cultural warriors. And then, of course, let's go to the Christian Civic League of Maine. What are they fighting today? What's on their homepage? Oh, there it is. Family. Something about what is it? How radical ideology is taking over Maine's warden services. What? About updates. Click on updates. Updates. She needs you in her corner. What's that about? Some girl. We know what that's about, right? Okay. Folks, you understand what's going on? The bite is gone from the pro-family movement. The bite's gone, folks. The last thing they want to hear is that they're homophobe, bigot, intolerant, not diverse. Am I hitting home here? Is that what's going on? The last thing they want to avoid is being called names.
Look, there's tremendous amount of Jewish money that props up these organizations, and the only thing that they have permission to talk about when it comes to the sexual orientation agenda now is the whole tranny thing and the women and girls sports. And they've been permissioned by the big money. I mean, you can see this in Donald Trump every single day. The guy is simply mouthing what they've given him permission to say.
That's true.
Who's they?
The people he surrounded himself with. The Christians that he surrounded himself with, right?
And it troubles me so much. Like I said, I voted for the guy for three times, and I still think there's a beating heart in his chest. And if he would step up and repent for Epstein, for his involvement with all of Epstein, I think he could change the entire planet at this point. He's got that much power. There's so much focus on him because he's made such brilliant use of his celebrity and of his, he's got a very sharp mind. He's super assertive. He's really focused. But he's afraid to
He's not a Christian.
Right. And he's afraid to take responsibility for what he's done. We all need to take a lesson from that. We boomers, we need to examine our life. We need to take a good, hard look at our life. Yet, maybe you went to that diversity training that the corporation forced on you. And now you look back and you, boy, I wish I'd spoken up. Okay. Well, maybe you need to speak up now, or maybe you need to call somebody and apologize for not speaking up, because that's how this happened. Mm-hmm. We let them propagandize us. We let them
put a sock in our mouth. We let them put a sock in our mouth. That's what we did. We let them put a sock in our mouth, right?
And now our kids and our grandkids are paying the price for it.
Yep.
We're not paying the price that they're paying. A lot of them are looking at a future, if they even end up getting married. I mean, there's
Jared, real quickly, or Spencer, just Google while we're talking here. See how much money Focus on the Family brought in last year. It's like the churches, folks. Money comes into the church and never leaves the church. David Arthur, come on in, Dave.
So the thing that Christian Civic League of Maine is doing now, as well as everybody else, is they're standing up against the trans queer code.
But hang on a second, David. Focus on the Scamly, $142,747,833. Focus on the Family brought in $142 million last year. Go ahead, Dave.
Wow. But they refuse to stand up against the homosexual movement, that perversion. It's the same thing, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but when we ran that referendum, Mills wasn't even in office. It was LePage. And more homosexuals signed that referendum than I'd even spoken to that year, because they said the same thing. they said, we don't deserve extra special rights just because of who we are, but it still went nowhere. And what people need to really start understanding is that not just transgenderism, but homosexuality all by itself is pornographic by nature when it's presented to young developing minds. It actually destroys vulnerable, impressionable minds while confusing their developing sexuality. Yep. Wow. So anyone that allows their children to be in presence of that damned perversion is an unparent.
David, right. So Mike Heath, what would be the league's position now on homosexuality? Just curious. Now
Carol Connolly, his best friend, is a lesbian, quote unquote pastor, and they hang out all of the time.
What do you think, Mike?
He said to me, his words to me were, well, David, I'm just going to love on her and she'll come around. Yeah. No, he came around. That's the problem.
his cousin who worked for me, Fritz, he's now passed on. He's gone to his reward. Fritz told me personally that Carol Connolly voted for gay rights before he became the leader of the Christian Civic League of Maine.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Voted for
Jack McCarthy, come on in. Hey, Spencer, find out how much money the Family Research Council brought in at FRC. Come on in, Jack. Hey, folks, send us a million of this. Just pull your money back from Focus on the Scamly. Send it to Coach Dave Live, and we'll raise hell with it. No. Yeah, raise. RAIZE. We'll raise. We'll burn hell with it.
Burn it. Burn it to the ground.
Hang on, Jack. Hang on. Family Research count all their pikers. They're pikers. They only brought in $22 million. No, that's right.
What could we do with $140 million? Holy smokes! Okay,
ahead,
Mike. Okay, go back when Bob Emmerich. It can be won. We can win this, people. There's a battle plan, but you got to stay engaged. It's not a one time deal, and that's the problem we run into. When Bob Emmerich called, Pastor Bob Emmerich called Steve Martin and said, "Don't bother going to the Maine Human Rights Commission hearing today, because they're not going to accept comments from the audience." Steve called me and said, "I think we better go." I said, "I'll pick you up." And what happened, Mike? We had some great arguments. There was people stood up and mouthed off, and I stirred the pot. My sister stirred the pot. She told them that she was going to identify as a dog and never going to provide a fire hydrant. And if they didn't do it, she was going to sue them. And so it all kind of disintegrated at that point. And then my wife walked up without anybody saying anything. She walked up and asked the head of the Maine Human Rights Commission how she was going to explain the bathroom issue to my Down syndrome daughter.
Boy.
He dropped his head and never woke up for 3 years. That stopped him for 3 years. And what happened during that 3 years? We didn't do anything. We didn't follow up. We didn't crush them. The only way you win is you destroy them. Why did the Russians leave Afghanistan? Because the Mujahideen, if you're going to fight them, you kill every single one of them, because 20 years later, you leave one alive, they're going to come back and kill you. We don't know how to fight to win. We only play the game.
Okay, somebody get a calculator out there for me real quick. Hang on, Jack. I want to move on here. Somebody get a calculator. Somebody get a pencil and pen. Okay, hang on. Focus on the Family Research Council. Let's call them at $22 million. Somebody write that down. What was Focus on the Family? Go back to Focus on the Family. How much were they? Somebody writing this down. I hope adding it up. Focus on the Family. $142 million. Write that down. $142 million. How about American Family Association, AFA, American Family Association? How much they make? Let's see. What they bring in? Somebody got a pencil? I hope. They're pikers, huh? They're pikers. Well, only in 2020, they only brought in $21 million. That's a year, by the way. That's a year. What about the Christian Civic League of Maine. They bring in any money? I'm wondering. See if they brought in any money. They how about how they do? They only brought in $500,000. That's all they brought in.
That's so all Mason
had that,
money.
Somebody had that up to me. Somebody had all that money up that we just poured down a rat hole.
$577 million.
$577 million. Hey, Mike.
No, that's not right, Betty.
What's that, Dave?
Should be 181.5 million.
Say it again.
It's 180 million.
180 million. Hey, Mike, what do we got to show for that?
Well, you know, what's funny about the Christian Civic League of Maine amount, that $500,000 in 2024, I never raised anywhere near that amount of money. I was fortunate if I could, at the peak of the fight against the sexual orientation crowd, we raised about $500,000, and that was, I think, between three groups, not just the Christians. So they that hush money, Coach, that's hush money.
Yes, it is.
That the Christian Civic League of Maine is taking. The only reason they're getting that money is because the Jews don't want them. The Jews and the Masons, they don't want them talking about the sexual orientation issue
controlled
anymore.
Controlled speech.
They want them talking. Yeah.
Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, because I think we've been tricked. We've been taught to get five by adding 2 + 2. Coach, this is unreality that's happening. It's sorcery. Did you see what Randy wrote into the chat?
No.
Okay, so Randy just wrote, why is it that all the pedophiles and LGBTQism find refuge in the Holy Land? Now, so Coach, Holy Land? This is happening in the Holy Land? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Trying to get me in trouble, Vinny. You're trying to get me in trouble here.
The two can't exist in the same place.
That's right. Can two walk together unless they agree, right? We're not allowed to talk about this, though, right? And Mike's laying out evidence for it as well. All right.
He's right here. Yeah. Right?
See, you can act like these. What? Hey, folks. What do you think? Come on now. Pull up Focus on the Scamly again. Pull that back up. How much money they made? Anybody idea what? Would you like to see their salaries? Where's that money going? Anybody have any idea where that money's going? You ever heard about fighting a losing battle? James Dobson said we lost, and they still continue to get $135 million a year. He said we lost. We lost. You heard him say it. We lost. But $135 million comes rolling in there.
You know, the reason that money is being given to these Christian groups, these religious groups, is to keep all of us on the Republican plantation to keep us in the MAGA movement. That's the only reason that money is being given now, is to keep us loyal to Trump and the MAGA movement. But that is starting to weaken. There's a big fight coming.
Tucker Carlson's all in with what's going on with the Jewish man. Well, he's all in.
And Candace Owens, my goodness, she's
going on, right? Folks, I'm sorry.
And they have huge audiences. Everything's changing right now. Everything's changing. And that's why I said we're going to win. Because,
thank God for the internet, right?
Amen. And religion matters. It's real. And this is, and always has been, for the last 150 years, this has primarily been a religious war.
Hey, Mike.
John
F. Kennedy warned us about infiltration rather than invasion. Huh?
Right.
Folks.
Right.
Who's funding this?
And here's something we really need to wake up to. Do I agree with, am I Islamic? Am I a Muslim? No. Theologically, am I going to disagree with Muslims who are citizens of the United States of America? Absolutely. I'm going to disagree with them theologically. Do they have a right to become a citizen of the United States of America under our Constitution? Well, they do. We have to, if we're going to deal with that issue of Islam raising its power profile in the United States of America, then we're going to have to address that. But at this point, that's not the issue. Islam is not the issue. Iran is not the issue. The issue is Israel and the Jews. Are we going to do their bidding? Are we going to put our young people into another war on behalf of them in Iran? Are we going to do that? I'm not. I have 8 grandchildren. I don't support any of that anymore. I used to be a little bit confused about it. I ain't confused about it anymore. Israel needs to settle down, work things out with the Palestinians, or else. And America needs to back out of the whole thing.
That's right. If they don't do this, we ain't giving them no more money, right? If you don't make peace, you ain't getting any more of our money. That'd be the way to do it. Randy, come on.
Mike, you're 100% correct. You're right.
Thanks, Randy. It's great to hear your voice, man. It's been a while.
I'm sick of chasing all the distractions and everything. We can't focus on the main fight. But here's my question, Coach. And this is what we have to answer. When I heard Simone Gold tell the group years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, why are you all financing a dead church system that can't do anything?
Wow. Okay.
She said, give me your money. I'm out here working. I'm doing something. Okay, here's my point. Why are we fighting against who's pulling the trigger and not who's financing the bullet?
Mm.
You understand the distraction now, Coach?
I do.
They got us so distracted. The church is pouring all their money in a losing cause. They're chasing distractions. They're being good. But they're not being.
Randy, what, I'm looking
we
right
have
here,
to define evil. I'm with you, Mike.
What do you think Focus on the Family is doing with $135 million? Fighting a war that James Dobson already said we lost. Folks, huh? People writing checks to Focus on the Family. $142 million. What's the last thing they did? What's the last thing Focus? James Dobson told us they lost. Joe Allen, come on in.
Hey, Mike, this is Joe and Carol. Say hi to you and Polly.
Hey, it's so good to hear your voice. Hi to Carol.
Yeah. We know free speech is under attack. What they just did to Alex Jones and now Mike Mendell. If they want to quiet you, they're either going to kill you or drag you into court and sue you and take what you owe.
That's right.
So the biggest thing is our freedom of speech of going out against the foes. Enough said.
Amen. Amen.
Well, here's the thing. And if you've got a Facebook account, start talking about the Jews. You know, if everybody starts asking questions and calling into question the letting off all these guys on the Epstein issue, we boomers are going to start to
see contribute. That's a show unto itself, but we know Epstein was probably Mossad, right, Mike? He was probably Mossad.
Yeah, that's what the evidence suggests for sure.
So Mossad is the Jewish Israeli CIA. He was Mossad.
Yeah. Okay. So Netanyahu probably has a video of Trump, probably. Who knows? We don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Mark Trump, come in. Mark Trump, you hear me, Mark? Oh, we lost him. Dr. Paul, come on in. Mark will get back.
How are you?
I think Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones are right up what you guys are talking about, right? The state of Israel. They're bringing it out there, and I wonder when they're going to get killed. To be honest with you,
I can't. Candace Owens, Tucker, Alex, folks, these are big names. Look, will you stop it already? Will you stop it already? Now listen to me. The American government, especially under Joe Biden, does not represent the American people. You can love America and not like your government. Israel, the nation of Israel, has a government led by Benjamin Netanyahu. They have a wicked government. The government of Israel does not represent the individual Israeli Jewish. What? Don't you guys see this? The kings of this earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed. Could it be that the nation of Israel, I'm sorry, the government of Israel hates Christ just as much as the Muslim countries do? Would that be possible, you think? The government! Do you guys sit right here and think the American government represents you? Why would we think that the Israeli government represents the individual Jew? How stupid are we? You're not even allowed to talk about it. Mark Trump, come on in.
Hopefully this works. So I got rid of the other audio. But anyway, Mike just wanted to say thank you. A lot of people don't know all you've done and you've had to keep doing over the years. But I'll just sum it up by saying Jared is Mike's son. Jared is Mike's arrow. Uh-huh. He has been doing this a long time. And Jared's going, and all of Mike's children are going to bring up arrows who will serve the Lord, because that's how Mike set up his whole family.
Amen, baby. Amen.
Now, each of us men have the ability to set up a family like that. And I failed, but I got to go back and work on it, because right. I did not do what Mike did and Coach has done. Okay. They are living examples of how to bring up arrows. Mike, thank you. Thank Polly for everything y'all have done. And I just wanted to extend my gratitude. Okay. Mike, thank you.
Yeah. Mark, you know why? Folks, are you guys looking at me? Mike lost his career. He didn't lose his job. He lost his career. Because he didn't say, I hate to tell you Amen. This, he didn't take Amen. The position of the power elite who are funding the Focus on the Family and the Family Research Council and the American Family Association. I hate to say it, all of them pro-Israel. Yes or no? Yeah. Can you be a Christian and question the Israeli government? Are you allowed to do that anymore? Or are they totally and completely off limits? Huh? I don't know. Dale, come on in. You've been waiting a while. Sorry, Dale.
No, that's...
You're breaking up, man.
Right. So we've trained them that way because we have lost the crusade. The crusades between the birth, the birth room and the classroom. And we've lost both of those. And this is the results of those things. But, Coach, you know, just... You know, I just sit back, I weigh this stuff out, I'm looking at this stuff, and sometimes, you know, generals sit back and they examine war. First off, Tony Perkins, right? Yeah, that guy was up there with Tony Spell when he got handcuffs put on him, right?
That's right.
Rebuking Tony Spell. So, yeah, Tony Perkins is from Louisiana. He's a dope. So, the Israeli thing, could this possibly be, where did this peace treaty victory all of a sudden come from? Could it be the fact... And trust me, I'm not 100% on this, and don't hate me because of that. But could it be that, you know, because of people like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, who used to be with the CIA, I don't know if we know that, but yeah. that they're exposing this stuff, and Israel's government, not the people, the government said, uh-oh, we got to give a victory over here so we can, so what? So we can reset, right? And by the way, we've already blown up Gaza. It's a pile of concrete rubble. It's all yours, boys. You can have it back. But I think because they were getting exposed, they had to take the heat off of them. And now they put this glorious light on them. That's a possibility. I just needed to share that.
Amen. Hey, folks, Psalm 2. When you go to bed tonight and when you get up tomorrow, you want to know what's going on in the world? The kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. Friends, this is going to hurt you. Government of Israel is against the Lord. You do understand that, don't you? Against the Lord and the Lord's people. Come on. Help open our eyes that we might see what's going on. God bless you, Mike. Thanks for all you've done, the price you've paid, everything it's cost you. When you cross over that other side, it's going to be a standing ovation waiting for you, man. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow.